All right, we've been in Psalm 89. That's where I want to go back to again this morning. It's Psalm number 89 in your Bibles. And I want to read four verses of Scripture this morning and try to bring the message the Lord has laid upon my heart, beginning in verse number 15, Psalm 89 and verse number 15. The Bible said, "Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and thy favor, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King." Let's bow together and pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the morning hour. Thank you, Lord, for the singing. Thank you, Father, for the good testimonies. The time that we have now to preach the gospel. I pray, Lord, as we tell the story once again of the cross of Christ, that it would work in the hearts and lives of people by the power of the Holy Spirit, converting, Lord, lost souls for Thee, and blessing the hearts of God's children again, realizing one more time what Christ has done for us. I pray now that You'll move on our hearts today, that You'll fill the preacher with the Spirit of God and with power and liberty. I pray You'll help every family and home that is represented here today. Help our thoughts to be clear and our mind to be clear. Help us to say everything, Lord, that would be pleasing in Thy sight. And may it glorify Thee, and we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. If you'll notice in verse number 15, the Bible says there that God's people that are blessed, that they walk in the light of the Lord. So we walk in His light. And it says in verse number 16, that we rejoice in His name. We ought to walk in His light, and we ought to rejoice in His name. And in verse number 17, we're to glory because of His strength in those three things. But that's not what I'm preaching on this morning. Part of it is in verse number 15, where the Bible said, "Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound." That know the joyful sound. And I want to preach a little while today on that thought of the joyful sound. The joyful sound of the Lord. Now, we're trying our best to move right on through this chapter. We preached several times in it, as you well know. And I want us to remember that the theme of this chapter is God's covenant. And the relationship that He has with His people. I'm thankful that we're in a covenant relationship with the Lord. That means a great deal more. You don't hear much about that preached anymore, but there are several covenants been made in the Word of God. And do you well to study those. And I'm glad that there is a covenant of grace that you and I have entered into. And it's because of that covenant that God has made with us and sealed it by His Holy Spirit, the Spirit of promise that He's given us as a seal in our heart. That's the reason we're going to heaven. And there's nothing going to prevent that. Somebody said, "Well, what if somebody just goes out and sins all their life and this and that after they profess Christ? Are they going to heaven?" No, they're not going because they never did get in. I believe that once Christ dwells within the heart, doesn't mean that we're perfect, but we're going to strive. We're going to strive to live for the glory and honor of God. And we're going to strive to bring up our family in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I wouldn't give you a dime for somebody that tells me they're saved and then try to raise up their children in a worldly-like manner. They've never been to Calvary. They've never been born again by the grace of God. I wouldn't care what you try to tell me. I wouldn't believe it in 1,000 years. You know why? Because I've been to the cross. And I know what the cross will do in our lives. Only those that have been, who are blood bought, have any knowledge of God's joyful sound. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you are acquainted with God's joyful sound. And the Bible says there that not only are you acquainted with it, but you're blessed because of it. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. Now, that's a pretty good question to ask this morning. Have you heard the joyful sound? Have you heard the good news? He is blessed. He is a blessed God of whom the psalmist has been saying about. And therefore, they are a blessed people who partake of His bounty and know how to exult in His favor. That is, we know how to praise God because of His favor. He is a blessed God. And I'll tell you, if we've been blessed of God, we ought to know how to exalt Him or exult Him in praise and adoration for what He has done in our life. And you know, we seem to be going downhill all over the country in our worship and our praise and our adoration of God. Boy, I'll tell you, we need to stop and take count of what God has done for us. And what Brother Steve said in Sunday school is right. There's only one thing that will hinder you and I from praising God in our life, and that's sin that dwells in our life. You better mark that down in your little black book, friend. Sin will keep you from God. I'll guarantee you on that. Sin will keep you from this book, but this book will keep you from sin if you put it in your heart and put it into practice. That's right. Praise is a peculiarly joyful sound, and blessed are those who are familiar with its strain. Some of you all, I think, about fainted this morning when Miss Ruth shouted. I turned around, I saw green faces and purple faces, and you're wondering, what on heaven's name is she shouting about? Well, she's shouting because of what God's done for her. And she's rejoicing because her name has been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'll tell you, we ought to be like that old lame man in John chapter number 5, or Acts chapter number 3. We ought to, if God saves us, we ought to rise up and get into the house of God, walking and leaping and praising God for what He has done for us. That is exactly right. And I want to know, do we really know the joyful sound this morning? Now notice, if we give God our ear and hear the joyful sound, He will show us His face. It says so in verse number 15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of Thy countenance. They shall walk in the light of Thy countenance. And He'll show them His face and make us glad. There is nothing that ought to rejoice us any more than seeing the face of our God. I know when I've been gone for a week or so out in a meeting, and I come home and I see Miss Hall's smiling face standing at the door waiting on me. Hallelujah. I'm going to rejoice and thank God that I've seen that face one more time. And when God shows me the light of His countenance, when I look upon His face, and I can look upon that face because I've heard the joyful sound, I'm going to tell you what, it makes me rejoice and praise Him for His goodness to me in the land of the living. Now, just like, hey, while the sun shines, men will walk without stumbling as their feet. But when the Lord smiles on us, we'll live without grief as to our own souls. I'm going to tell you, I've never seen such a mind or a soul grieved people in all of my life than what I see the people of God that's supposed to be serving Him today. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in the greatest hour that the children of God could possibly live in. Boy, Jesus is getting ready to come back. And this is not an hour for us to wear out the carpets dragging our lips coming into the house of God. That is exactly right. We ought to be rejoicing in the Lord to know that the trumpet might sound any minute. I mean, it might sound for... So I said, you say that every service. That's because I want to remind you that you may not make it home today. I mean to your home where you call home. We may go on to that home in the heavenlies today if the trumpet sounds. And I believe we're that close to the coming of the Lord that it could very well take place before we ever leave here in the house of God this morning. Amen. Now, listen to this very carefully. The words joyful sound means to clamor. It means a clamor of acclamation of joy. Or it means a battle cry. Especially the clangor of trumpets as an alarm. Blowing of the trumpets. It means joy. It means jubilee. It means loud noise. It means rejoicing. It means shouting. It means high, joyful shouting. All those words, the joyful sound, mean all those words. Now, where do we find a joyful sound at this morning in the Word of God? Now, this is real deep, so hang on. We're getting ready to get into the message. I believe that there is a joyful sound in the voice of the Lord. Boy, I'll tell you, I've never gotten over that day when God spoke to my heart and showed me that I was a lost sinner on the way to hell and then pointed me toward Calvary and spoke to my heart and told me if I'd only trust in Him that He would forgive me of all of my sin. I want to underline and underscore that word, A-double-L, all of my sin, and record my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, I'm telling you, I have been rejoicing ever since I heard the joyful sound of the voice of the Lord. Somebody said, did you hear an audible voice? No, I wasn't eating sauerkraut that morning, praise God. And I didn't have pizza the night before I went to bed. But I'll tell you what I did hear. I heard the voice of the Holy Ghost of God speaking to my heart and confirming to my soul that what that old man of God was saying about the Bible was real and it was true, and that there was a bomb in Gilead, that there was a sympathizer in Mount Zion, that there was a Lord that died on Calvary, that there was a Savior that rose from the grave, that there was a Lord that took our sins upon Him, and that He's coming again with life and liberty to everybody that believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hear that joyful sound in His voice. That's right. That is right. Now, it's not the voice that thundered on Mount Sinai. When that voice thundered on Mount Sinai, you know what the people did of Israel? The Bible said they feared and trembled at the voice. And then they stopped. They said, we don't want to hear that voice no more. Said, oh, let him tell Moses about it. But said, we don't want to hear that voice anymore. So I'm not talking about the voice that thundered on Mount Sinai. No, sir, I'm not talking about that voice that thundered on Mount Sinai when the law was given. But I'm going to tell you, when the law comes out, men ought to tremble at the law. I'm telling you, the law condemns the soul of man. You can't get around that. Now, I'm going to tell you, without the preaching of the law, nobody is going to get saved. For until you fall under condemnation and realize that you're lost and without God, amen, and that you have sinned and transgressed against the holiness of God, you're never going to be saved until you fall under condemnation and realize that you're condemned and on your way to a Christless eternity without God and without hope. Now, I'm telling you, I don't know what it's going to take to turn people this morning away from their sins and turn them toward God. Hallelujah! It's going to take God getting a hold of your heart and hanging you out over hell and causing you to realize that you're going to fry in hell for all eternity unless you get born again by the grace of God. I'm telling you, if that doesn't make you fear and tremble, there is no fear of God whatsoever in your heart this morning. Amen. That's right. That's right. It's one thing for a man to live like he wants to and die and go to hell. But I'm going to tell you, when you start raising your children like in the likeness of the world, you ain't got an ounce of sense. That child you brought into the world and you're trying to raise them like the world's raising their children, you ain't got an ounce of sense, and I'll tell you that to your face. You are dumber than a box of rocks, sir. You are condemning your own flesh and blood to an everlasting torment in a lake of fire. And I'll tell you that don't make an ounce of sense to me. Don't tell me you love your children if you're dressing them. Hey, come on now, and try to decorate them up to make them look like the world. Hallelujah to God. Amen. That's right. Somebody said, I don't like it. I didn't ask you to like it. God likes it. Now, I'm not pleasing man. I'm trying to please God. So that voice is not like the voice that thundered on Mount Sinai. But I'm going to tell you what it is, that joyful sound. It's like the voice that speaks from Mount Calvary. Oh, blessed be the name of God. When He spoke from Mount Calvary in such a tender, caring, compassionate tone that brings salvation to the souls of men. That is the joyful sound. When He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Do you know that joyful sound this morning? Do you know the joyful sound of the voice of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm not going to tarry long on these points, but I'm telling you, the joyful sound of His voice has got to be included in the voice of the gospel. Somebody said, well, where in the world do you get that voice in the gospel? He said in John 19:30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, He said, it is finished. And He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. I'm telling you, there was never a more joyful sound ever uttered from the lips of mankind than what was uttered from Christ when He bowed His head and said, it is finished. Can you get a hold of that this morning? I'm going to tell you what, friend. Somebody said, what do you mean it was finished? He had taken your sin and drank the last bitter drag of your sin and taken your sin upon Him that you might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And friend, when He bowed His head and said, it is finished, salvation was brought to man. Deliverance was brought to our soul. Man was headed for hell. Get a hold of this. Totally depraved in your sin. I'm talking about totally depraved in your sin. You could not get to God. So blessed be His name. He came to where we was, died on an old rugged cross, and humbly bowed His head and said, it is finished. Hallelujah. That's the voice of the gospel. That's the voice of the gospel. Now I want you to notice what the Scripture says there. You don't have to turn there. It's in Matthew if you wanted to. Or John rather, 19:10. You don't have to turn there. But it don't say that His head just dropped. People think when Christ died on the cross that His head just dropped. And that He just died. He reverently bowed His head. Somebody said, how could He do that? Because no man took His life from Him. Amen. He laid down His life that He might take it up again. And when He died on Calvary, He didn't just all at once drop dead. He very humbly and very gloriously dismissed His spirit, gave up the ghost. He gave up the ghost and bowed His head and said, it is finished. Thank God it's over with. I have fulfilled the Father's will from the foundation of the world. It was written that I should be as a lamb slain for the glory of God and die for the sins of fallen humanity. Somebody said, why are you preaching on this today? I would imagine there's somebody under the sound of my voice that's lost and without God and need to get saved by God's marvelous grace. Say amen right there. There's always somebody lost listening to the preacher, I'll guarantee you on that. Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. The voice of the gospel. Now you, hey, what a joyful sound when He said it is finished. You realize it's like the sound that was made in the year of the Jubilee, every 50 years Israel would blow the trumpets. They'd have what's called the Jubilee every 50th year. The sound of the Jubilee, and they'd blow them trumpets. Blow them trumpets. And you know, hey, somebody said, what was so joyful about that? When they blew them trumpets, every bond slave, was released and freed from his master, set at liberty. Now I'm here to tell you, friend, are you listening to me when Christ spoke on Mount Calvary and said it is finished? It was the year of Jubilee. Brother, liberty had been brought to the souls of mankind. I'm glad, thank God, the devil hath no more power over me. And sin hath no more dominion over me. I have been set at liberty, thank God. I was a slave to sin and led about by the devil. But oh, on that glorious day when Christ said, it is finished, and the voice of the gospel echoed out through the valleys and the mountains and the hills and down through the mountainside. I'm telling you, it set at liberty every captive that would believe in Him. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. That's right. Now, we sing the song. Are you listening? We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Have you heard that wonderful sound this morning? That Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Oh, I'll tell you, there's never a one. You know what kind of a sound folks want to hear today? They want to hear the sound of revved up cars out there on the NASCAR racetrack. They want to hear the sound of cheering crowds over at UK in the basketball game. They want to hear the sound of the cheering crowds up at North Hopkins and down at Central when they're playing in tournaments. That's right. They want to hear the yells and the hooping and the hoopla. People out on the beaches having beach parties. They want to hear the sound of drunken parties. That's right, and cussing and carrying on. But I'm glad, thank God, I've heard of that. And by the way, there's not anything joyful about that. It leads to a dead-end street. Amen. But I'll guarantee you I heard the joyful sound one day when Christ said, it is finished, thank God. I'm glad when He said it is finished, amen, it is finished. What a joyful sound to hear the voice of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen carefully now. Listen carefully. John 6, verse 47. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Is that not the voice of the gospel? He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Woo! Not temporary life, everlasting life. He that believeth on... Jeez, can you imagine how this is not something just written in a book? Jesus is standing in a crowd of people and looking around at that crowd of people. I can't say what He said this morning. I can repeat it. But I can't say it and mean it like He did. But He looked around at that crowd of people and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, he that believeth on me shall have everlasting life. Son, that is the gospel if I ever heard it. Amen to God. But I'm going to tell you, here's one I like. It's really the gospel. You listen very carefully. Amen, amen. John 10, 17 and 18. Therefore doth my Father love me. Why? Because I lay down my life, that I might take it up again. No man taketh it from me. I have the power to lay it down of myself, and I have the power to take it up again. That ain't the joyful sound. That's the gospel. Christ laying down His life, yielding His life for sinners like you and I. Friend, what a joyful sound. The voice of the gospel. Christ dying in your place, just like old Barabbas. Old Barabbas should have died and went to hell. Are you listening to me? And you and I should have died and went to hell. But thanks be unto our great God that sent the only begotten Son of God into the world, ladies and gentlemen, to become our substitute on Calvary. And like He died in Barabbas' place, He died in your place and died in my place and set us free. Have you heard the joyful sound of the gospel this morning of the Lord Jesus Christ? Somebody say amen right there. Thank God. Now hang right with me. We ain't done yet. Amen. I want to say, secondly, it is not only the God, the voice, the joyful sound of His voice is not only the voice of the gospel, but it's also the voice of grace. Thank you, Brother Steve. Praise God. I'm going to tell you, anybody saved don't like grace, an idiot. I'm going to get bolder than that. If you don't like grace, you ain't saved. You know anything about, you don't know anything about being saved if you don't love grace. You understand what grace is, don't you? God dying for the unlovely. God doing what He didn't have to do. God showing mercy and grace to someone He didn't have to do it. He could have let us go in our sins and die and go into hell. But hey, I'm telling you, the voice of the gospel, His voice, is a voice of grace, ladies and gentlemen. When He spoke, no man ever spoke like this man. And I'm telling you, grace flowed from the lips of God-man like it flowed from nobody else. Now I'm glad one day that the grace of the gospel of the Lord Jesus not only fell upon my old deaf ears, but they fell also upon my old heart, thank God. And it penetrated down through my ears into my heart and opened up my heart, and by His grace I received the gospel and was saved, hallelujah, for all time and eternity. I'm saying that the voice, that the joyful sound of His voice is not only the voice of the gospel, but it's also the voice of grace. Can you imagine old Zacchaeus? He was a wee little old man. The Bible said that he heard one day that Jesus was a passing by. And he said, I'm going out and see this man. I've heard a whole lot about him. Said, I want to see what he looks like, get a good look at him. And he got out there and he's a little old man. I just see him now in all that crowd that had gathered around Jesus. He's jumping up and down trying to get that look at Jesus. It would do you well this morning to try to find him in the crowd. I'm going to tell you to look for him. You'll find him when you seek him with all of your heart, not until then. But I can see little old Zacchaeus out there jumping up and down. And he said, I can't see him. He said, I know what I'm going to do. He said, praise God, I'm going to climb up this sycamore tree. And he knew if he got up there that he'd be able to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible said in Luke 9:5, and when Jesus came to the place, I'd never seen this before in my life and thought about it. When Jesus came to the place, Zacchaeus is in a sycamore tree. And the Bible said that Jesus looked up. It's in your Bible. I'm going to tell you what hit me, boy. It may not hit your heart like it hit my heart, but I'm telling you, it hit my heart like a ton of brick. And I thought to my soul, I don't know of another sinner in the Bible where it says that God looked up to him. Always looking down on sinners because we're below him. There's old Zacchaeus up in a tree, and the Bible said Jesus stopped and looked up. Why? Because that old sinner got up there where he could see him. Amen. Thank God. He looked up. He looked up at that old sinner. And here is that voice. Here is that voice of grace. And he said unto him, Zacchaeus. I imagine Zacchaeus said, yes, sir. What is it? And the Lord replied, make haste. Don't spend no time up there. Come down, boy. And here is a voice of grace. He said, for today I must abide at thy house. Yep. Then he said in verse 9, and Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation. Come to thy house. I'm telling you, friend, if that's not a voice of grace, I've never heard it before in my life. You remember when you was out in sin? Yep. You remember when you was wallowing in your own vomit? Preacher. Amen. Drunk the night before and wallowed in your own vomit. Yeah. Woke up with woke up, you didn't know where you was at, where you'd been, who you'd been with, what you'd done, all that mess. Hey, amen, land. And you know, somebody said, well, preacher, I ain't never done that. Well, bless your wonderful heart. Bless your heart. There's been a whole lot of people that have. There's been a whole lot of people that have. You, oh, yeah, somebody remember that day. Somebody remember that day. Remember playing pool and shit, and playing cards, playing poker, getting drunk, dancing, crowd. You remember all that junk, running around with women, running around with men. You remember all that junk. You remember the sin you did. Come on in the house. You remember the sin. You remember the sin. Hey, somebody said, I don't like to remember sin. Well, I don't ponder on anything personal too much, but I'm going to tell you what. That's what makes grace so sweet to me. When I realize how wicked I really was, and then what grace done in my life. For my grace, for my grace, are you saved through faith in that, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Hallelujah. Wonderful grace. You remember that day. You remember that day. You wallowed in your sin. Amen to God. I remember it very well. I come back from Vietnam. You can ask my wife, and I'm not proud of it. I wasn't nothing but a sot drunk, buddy. And I'm not talking about I was an alcoholic. I was a drunkard. And if you drank, you're not an alcoholic. A-A-A, my hind leg. AAA ain't never done anything for anybody. But keep them running back, keep them running back, keep them running back. I made one trip up Calvary, don't have to go back again, thank God. I got a full load when I got up there.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you what, when I think of those days, lay waking up, I'll never forget, I woke up one morning, Miss Hall's mother and Grandpa and Grandma pulled up beside that old junky car I was in. I was sitting right there in Underwood, right across my little old schoolhouse. I just keeled over right there. Hot, God, is in the summertime. I felt terrible. Raised up out of that old car, and I remember the very words her Grandpa said. He said, Jerry, I wish you'd leave that old stuff alone. He didn't realize how that old stuff had a hold in my life because of sin. And I'd try to break it and try to break its power. There was no way I could break its power. But one day I heard the voice of grace. 5 rows back in a little Baptist church building, I heard the voice of grace. When Jesus said, come on, Gary, I'll wash away all your sin. And I'll give you a power that you'll never have to hit that bottle ever again. Praise God, you'll never worry about waking up in your own vomit ever again. I'll give you a power that you can live for me. I'll send you to the church house where you can hear the songs of Zion. I'll send you to the church house where you can fellowship with God's people. I'll send you to the church house where you can hear the preaching of the Word of God. I'll send you to the church house where you can sing the songs of Zion. I'll send you to the church house where you can learn the Word of God. And I'll make your home, woo! Hallelujah to God, I'll make your home instead of a battleground, I'll make it a haven of love, hallelujah to God. And He's done that, I'm telling you, by the grace of God. He's done that, amen. And I'm not ashamed of it. I love my bride this morning, hallelujah. Amen, you better believe it. But He changed my whole family, my whole life, my household. It all began to change. I said a couple of weeks ago, I'll say it again, never forget that night. At least you come out of that little old bedroom carrying that armload of Elvis Presley albums. I said, what are you doing, honey? She said, I'm throwing all these away. I said, what for? She said, Brother Nolan preached against them. I said, well, we don't have to do everything he says. That's what some of y'all are thinking in here this morning. We don't need to do everything he says. No. You don't have to do everything I say. But I'm going to tell you what. You do have to do everything he says. And if you think he put his approval on Elvis' pelvis, you're wrong. Or make up Jacko, whatever his name is. I've got another name for him. I won't use it in the pulpit. My wife don't like me to use it. I guarantee he ain't moonwalking. I got an email from one of my fellow Vietnam buddies Friday. And he showed it was a film where a soldier died, and they showed the whole funeral procession for miles and miles. Then he got another letter from him that showed this World War II veteran that died on the same day that Jackson died on. Now, I'm going to tell you, he was a military hero. A hero, a decorated hero. And they said nothing about that man. I'm telling you, our country is going to the dogs, buddy. If we don't hear the voice of the grace of God soon, America is going to slide off down the tube into destruction, ladies and gentlemen. Or I'm going to tell you, all people and all nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. You can mark that down. Amen. That's right. And I stood there and read that all that about that old gentleman. Showed him in that uniform when he was a young man, and it showed him when he died. I'm telling you, tears come to my eyes and my heart broke. And I thought America has gone to the point where our troops come home and they die. The boys from Afghanistan die. Nothing's ever said much about them. Old veterans die. Decorated heroes die. I got one the other day where some of you may know him, talking about old Ed Too Tall to Fly Freeman in Vietnam. Died. I don't remember seeing nothing about him in the news, nothing on the newspaper. Somebody said, well, what did he do? I'm going to tell you what he done. I'm running rabbits, but that's all right. Praise God, I'm going to run this rabbit. I'm going to tell you what Ed Too Tall to Freeman done. He was too tall to fly helicopters, and he wanted to fly them anyway, so they let him fly. And at LZ X-ray, in Idrang Valley, on the 14th day of November 1965, when the helicopters and the Red Cross refused to fly in there because of all the lead that was flying, Ed Too Tall to Fly Freeman flew 13 sorties in that place and carried wounded boys out on every trip that he went out. And about a year ago, our beloved President George W. Bush placed a medal of honor around his neck for it. All these years later, and I said, praise God, that Ed Too Tall died and not one word said about him, but some pedophile, dope addict, amen, died, and they built him up like he's an icon of America. He's not my hero, ladies and gentlemen. He might be yours, but I'm going to tell you something. My hero is sitting on the right hand of the throne of God today. My hero is the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Now I got that off my chest. Amen. Thank God. Talking about that voice of grace. You want to hear a voice of grace? There was an old leper came to Jesus in Mark 1, verses 40 and 41. That leper came unto him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus moved with compassion. Saw that old leper that, hey, wasn't even according to the law, couldn't even be there. No man could even touch him. He wasn't even supposed to be where he was at. But that old leper came, kneeling, beseeching him. Said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Get this. And he put forth his hand and touched him. No ordinary human to touch a leper. There's no cure from that. And I want to tell you, let me just say, lepers is a type of sin. Reach out and touch it and play with it. Go on, reach out and play with sin a little while. All you got to do is play with it a little while, friend. And I'll tell you, it'll break out on you like measles all over you. You can't hide it. I don't care what you do, how much you come to church, Sunday school. You cannot hide sin in your life. You can't do it. Jesus reached out and touched him and said unto him, and here's them words of grace. I will. Be thou clean. You remember that day you come to Jesus and said, Lord, if you would, you could make me clean. My old soul is filthy. My soul is like filthy rags. I'm like an old filthy rag is all I am. But if you just will, Lord, thou canst make me clean. And then a sweet, tender, compassionate voice, the Lord spoke back and said, I will. Be thou clean. Oh, I'm telling you, what a voice of grace.
Amen.
What grace. That old leper, he didn't deserve help. Jesus didn't have to help him. But he could help him. And he did help him.
Amen.
I will.
Amen.
Be thou clean. Are y'all staying right with me now? Now I want to say, secondly, not only the joyful sound of his voice, but the joyful sound of victory. Praise God, there is a joyful sound of victory that we can have. I thought about old David. David in 2 Samuel 5, the Philistines had come up into the land. And David had went out to battle with them. And David had run them back. They come up the second time. And David inquired of the Lord and said, shall I go out? And the Lord said, I don't want you to do it this way, David. He said, here's what I want you to do. He said, I want you to go over around them mulberry trees over there and fetch a compass round about them over there. He said, in other words, catch them in an ambush. I want you to catch them in an ambush. And here's what the Lord said. And let it be when thou hearest the sound of the going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself. For then shall the Lord go out before thee and shall smite the host of the Philistines. I only wrote two things down about this, and I'm going to mention them very quickly. I want you to listen. Hey. The sound of victory comes before the battle. You hear what I'm saying? If you don't get anything else, somebody said, I'm never in a battle. Bless your sweet heart. I've been in a lot of them, friend. I know what it's like to be in a battle. But here's the thing. The voice of the sound of victory come before the battle ever started. God said, when you hear the sound going in the tops of the mulberry trees, then bestir thyself and go out. For he said, I will smite the Philistines for you. Can you get a hold of that this morning? Now I'm going to tell you, before you face the devil in a battle, ladies and gentlemen, you better have the voice of victory in your heart before you ever fight the battle. Somebody said, how can we do that? I'm going to tell you, you can see the battle coming on the horizon. You don't have to charge into it like some blind idiot.
Amen. Amen.
You can see it coming. Amen. You better hear it. If you don't hear that voice of victory, you better back away from it and leave it alone. It might mean trouble for your soul. There have been a whole lot of people, like those that rode into the valley of death, that 600, onward, they rode into the valley of death. Into the valley of death rode the 600 like the 600! That like fools rode into the valley of death and died there! You know why? They had never heard the voice of victory, ladies and gentlemen. They went to meet their death. And I'm telling you, there have been a whole lot of Baptists that's charged off into the battle, never having heard the sound of the voice of victory.
Right.
They've died in the midst of the battle. But the Lord said, when you hear the sound going in the tops of the mulberry tree, said, bestir thyself. Get up and get with it, son. Praise God, get ready to go. Don't sit there like a knot on a log. Roll up your sleeves and get ready for the fight. If you hear the sound, get ready for the fight. God's going to give you the victory.
Amen.
Somebody said, what if I get a bloody nose? Ah, oh, you've had bloody noses before. Most of you have. Unless you like Brother Chuck back here. He probably bloodied a few noses. I don't know if he read his blood or not. I'd say he probably bloodied a few in his day. But yeah, I'm glad he's on my side. Amen. That's right. I'm glad he's on my team. Hallelujah to God. Amen. That's right. You've been in fights before. You know what it's like to scuffle a little bit. It's not much different than a spiritual warfare.
Right.
A little scuffling, a little wrestling. But I'm going to tell you, if you've heard that voice, and you've heard that wrestling in the tops of the mulberry tree, going out into battle, I'm going to tell you, before David ever went out against Goliath, somebody said, boy, he hadn't heard no voice. He hadn't. He told Saul, he said, I ain't afraid of that Philistine. I don't care how big he is. He said, there's a bear and a lion come out against me one day. He said, I grabbed both the egg suckers by their chinny chin whiskers, bless God, and cut their head off.
That's right.
I'll tell you something about whiskers. David heard the voice of victory right there. He said, I killed a bear and a lion. And he said, this uncircumcised Philistine will be just like them before this day is over. He met him, went out that little brook, picked up five smooth stones, a number of grace, put one of them in that little slingshot, went out, tore it over his head, and Goliath stood there like a fool. Who are you? Come out to me. And what he's saying to some little novice like you, you little whippersnapper, you ain't even dry behind the ears. But he didn't realize it. Old David said, yeah, said you come in the power of your might. But he said, I come in the power of the Lord. The Lord of the host of Israel, I'm coming unto you this day. And he took that little sling. He's being the sling over his head. And he turned that thing loose, and I can see that rock flying with a flat side. And then by the time it gets up there, it just turns over on the edge like that. And that, you know, that those brass helmets had that brass that come down between her eyes. God from heaven just reached down and went, and then, boom! And you know something? Goliath didn't fall backwards. He fell on his face. And I'm going to tell you, when you take out your enemies, whether something's wrestling in your flesh, you got a problem you're fighting, a sin you're wrestling with, a problem in life you're fighting, I'm going to tell you, when God conquers that for you, it'll fall on its face. Somebody said, what am I supposed to do then? Well, dummy is supposed to pick up its own sword and cut its head off. That's what David did. He picked up Goliath's sword and cut his head off. And it was some sword, because later on when he went to find that sword of Abimelech, Abimelech said, there ain't nothing here save Goliath's sword. And he said, give it to me. He said, boy, there ain't no sword ever been like that sword. He said, let me have that, David. He said, praise God, I'll do business with it. And I'm going to tell you, he did do business with that sword. You know why he could? Because he had heard the voice of victory. And some of you are letting the devil beat up on you. And you're letting the world beat up on you. And you're letting sin beat up on you. And all you've got to do, friend, is listen to the voice of the Son of God as He whispers, victory! Listen for the rustling in the tops of the mulberry trees. And go out to that enemy. Bless God, when you go out at him, smack them between the eyes and cut their stinking head off. You know what he done with that head? He picked that head up. Now get this. I've never understood all this, Brother Herford. But the Bible said he picked that head up. He walked back and he gave that head to Saul. So there you are. He gave an old bloody head to Saul. But you know what the Bible says? That he took Goliath's armor and put it in his own tent. He took that sword and all of Goliath. I wonder what he won with Goliath's armor. He couldn't wear it. He couldn't wear it. Can I give you a whole lot of you? I believe he took it home with him. And hung that armor up on the wall. Glass. He said, "Woo-wee! Sure take a big man to feel that." But when the devil got after old David, David just turned around and looked at that and said, "Praise God, I've already whooped him. Amen. What's this little small fry got for me?" He sent a few of his brothers along, and David took care of them too. Hallelujah. David and his men, they had a lot of giant armors hanging on their wall. And every time they'd get into a little spiritual fight, they'd look at that armor, friend, I'm satisfied. They'd look at that armor and say, hey, we've already conquered the giants in our life. These other little things are no problem for us. And I'm telling you, once you conquer a giant in your life, the other little things will amount to nothing to you. So why are some of you letting the world beat up on you and the flesh beat up on you and the devil beat up on you? Won't you tell the boogeyman to run on back to his house where he belongs? Amen. Thank God, that's what I do. I started to say something else. My wife don't let me say that either. But he's going to a lake of fire and brimstone. And he's going, and get this, he's going there where the beast and the false prophet are, and they've already been there for 1,000 years when he gets there. Don't tell me hell ain't eternal. That's right. I thought about Jericho. Talking about the voice. Praise God. Let me get out on my belly here. I thought about Jericho. When old Joshua went out and, of course, he viewed Jericho God, the captain of the Lord's host, came and gave him orders. The Bible said it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with a ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. He said, and the walls, the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. Hear what I'm saying? They heard the joyful sound. God told them, God, their instruction was, don't say a word. Don't utter a word. Just march around that city one time, every day for 6 days. And on the seventh day, you march around it 7 times. And on that seventh time, when you hear the sound of the trumpets and the ram's horns, give a great shout. Now imagine when that shout went up. What a joyful sound it was. When the shout went up, the walls come down. Now I want to ask you a question this morning. And I know this is going to make some of you mad. What kind of walls you got in your life? What kind of walls you got? You might bring them down with a shout. Some of you ain't shouting. I don't know how long. Might do you good just to rear back and shout. Somebody said, well, we're not Pentecostal. I realize that we're Baptist. But Baptists can still shout. When the voice of the great shout went up, the walls fell out flat. Somebody say amen right there. Miss Ruth might have had a wall fall this morning. And some of y'all are still walking around it wondering, well, wondering when it's going to come down. Maybe it's time to shout. Wonder when my wall will fall. When you shout. Somebody said, all you want to do is shout. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Amen. I'm just about done now. I'm just about done. I'm going to tell you another joyful sound. And what a joyful sound it is. What a joyful sound it is. It's a joyful sound of victory, folks. When Jesus comes again. The Bible said, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. With the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. What a sound. What a joyful sound. Try to imagine yourself this morning. Somebody said, I don't like to imagine myself dead. Well, try to imagine it anyway. Somebody said, I want to stay alive. Well, try to imagine yourself dead. And you're laying in that grave. And all at once you hear the Lord say, is he the one that chastised her? Yeah. Come up hither! And then you hear the voice of the archangel say, let it be so! And then you hear the trump of God. That's the last trump for us, for you and I. That's it! At the last trump, the dead in Christ. We'll get up out of the grave. And I just want to throw this in for a little bit. I believe when God brings us up out of the grave, if we die, kind of brush the dust off of us a little bit, you know, walk over there to that hole in the ground, we might exclaim like Paul did, oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Hallelujah to God. You're talking about a voice, a joyful sound, folks. It's going to be that last trump when the dead in Christ get up out of the grave. And then there's that joyful sound of vengeance. The joyful sound of vengeance. In Revelation 20:10, and the devil that deceived them were cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented night, day and night forever and ever. Somebody said, where do you get a sound out of that? I want to ask you a question. Do you think the devil's going there peaceably? I believe he's going to be trying to brace his feet all the way. He is going to be begging and crying like some little baby for God to spare him. But I'm telling you, his day is numbered. God's day has come at last. The Lord's vengeance on him that tried to ascend above the heavens. Set his throne above God's throne. And God has let go to and fro in the earth all these years. There's coming a day of vengeance when the devil will weep and moan and cry and plead and beg. But I'm telling you, all the pleading and the begging in the world will do him no good. He's headed for hell forever and ever, the Bible says.
Amen.
He'll meet the beast and the false prophet down there. Now I'm going to tell you something, friend. If you're not saved this morning, on the authority of the Word of God, you're going the same way.
Right.
And don't say you're going to be big and tough and bad. You're not going to be big and tough and bad when you stand before God. There are no bad ones stand before God. He can cut your little silver string anytime he wants to, neighbor. No bad guys before God. When he said, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." I'm going to tell you something. At his word is authority. You'll have no alternative. Spend eternity in hell with the devil. You love death that much? Jesus said, "Every man that hateth me loveth death." You love death that well? Because hell and death will be cast into a lake of fire, which is the second death. That's it. Somebody said, "Why the second death?" Because man's spirit died in the garden. Unless it's revived, unless it's regenerated, there's going to be a second death. I'm going to tell you that second death, body, soul, and spirit will be cast into hell. Forever. Forever. Burning. 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 Forever. While there's an opportunity to hear a joyful sound, better give God your ears and listen.
Amen.
Let's stand together.